I can't wait. I'm so glad this day's here, and what a joy it is to be here with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I appreciate those of you who've come over. And I want to thank the pastor and the entire college staff and faculty, Christian school staff, for letting this day be possible. I still remember from K-4 to 12th grade sitting in Christian schools, in one Christian school where I spent all my time. And my mind still rehearses and replays chapel periods where God spoke to my heart and God met with me, and passages of scripture that I memorized, and every year on Christmas morning reciting Luke 2, 1 through 14 with my children. And I learned that back in first grade, second grade, third grade, and remembering passages of scripture out of Proverbs and sitting in class and missionaries coming through the class and seeing my heart gripped and touched by the need to reach people all over the world, and learning the discipline of getting up early in the morning and studying the Word of God in a Christian school. And I thank the Lord for it. And so we're here today, and I hope we don't get so used to something like this that we think that everybody has it. We're blessed that on a Tuesday morning we're sitting in a church building as a part of our education, opening the Word of God. One man said the best education is education in the best things. And you can't get educated in any better thing than the Word of God. Amen. And so I pray God helps you. And maybe you're sitting in the building this morning and thinking somehow you're missing out on the great things of life. And if you could be down the road where the school is bigger and the gymnasium is larger and the class offerings are grander, and you get a chance to be seen by better scouts, and you get a chance to be around a larger crowd, and you get a chance to be exposed to greater college classes, and there's an accreditation process and AP classes and a science lab and a pig you can dissect, and you're missing out on the things. You ain't missing out on nothing. You just be thankful that when you leave out of this room and turn to the right and you go to the boys' bathroom, there'll only be boys in there. You go to the girls' bathroom, there'll only be girls in there. And nobody here will be offering you protection if you decide not to stay pure. And no science teacher in this building would have glasses on the bottom of his nose and dandruff on his jacket and tell you that you came from a monkey. Amen. In this building, you're here because God made you. And he has a plan for your life. When you get on this end of things, you'll thank God you went to Christian school and that your mom and daddy sacrificed to get you here. And there'll be doors you didn't walk through because you sat here, and doors you could walk through because you sat here. I don't want you to get happy about it later. I want you to get happy about it now. I don't just want you to get excited when you arrive at the destination. I want you to enjoy the ride, because we're blessed to be here this morning. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for a pastor who has a vision for a Christian school and for a Bible college. It costs money. I know you're thinking it costs you money to come here. It costs the church money to have a school where you can come. But they believe in you. And there are teachers that will stand up here and teach before you on a regular basis. College professors and Christian school teachers. And they're not here because they're making $1 million. Truth be told, they probably go down the road somewhere else and make more money, but make less impact. So I hope you're grateful. And maybe when you leave class later on today, on the way out the door, before you get your stuff all gathered up together and run to the next place, tell the person who spent the last 45 minutes or an hour with you, thank you for not just giving me your time, but giving me your life. We thank God for it. First Chronicles chapter number 4. First Chronicles chapter number 4. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. First Chronicles chapter number 4. If you're here and you think about going to Bible college and God has called you into the ministry, the call to preach or the call to ministry is the call to prepare. And I pray that you'll consider this place. I'm not overly familiar with Calvary Baptist Church. We've known of this ministry for years. Several men that we know have been affiliated, associated, a member of, or part of this ministry, and they just have a great reputation and a great name. And in the last couple of years, I've had the joint privilege of stopping through here and preaching in chapel and being able to spend some time with some of the young people. I've enjoyed my time with the staff guys, their heart for the Lord, Brother Michael Lane, Brother Tom Delp. They've not just been great hospitable host when I'm here, but they've been dear encouragements and friends all around the year, and I appreciate that. But here in the last couple of years, as a matter of fact, the pastor and I just met for the first time here last night. We've talked and texted back and forth, and our church has prayed faithfully for his health, and we're thanking God that I know he could feel better, and he would like to feel better, but we're glad you're a whole lot better than you were, and we thank the Lord that God has helped raise you up, and we pray God heals you completely, and we thank the Lord for that. But here I have grown to respect the ministry from afar off, and I'm so thrilled for that. And my greatest gratitude is the blessing that you are to Tyreek, and we are certainly thankful for him. I knew I didn't even want to say his name. I knew I'd get choked up, but we're so proud of him and what God is doing. I think it sounded like a broken record last night as I stood at the door beside the pastor, my wife and I, and I think one after one I heard this: well, we're so thankful for Tyreek. We're so thankful for Tyreek. We're so proud of Tyreek. Some of them said Tyree. This is in the South. And you and Tyreek have a lot in common if you're from the South. And that is, he's from Washington, D.C., you're from the South. And both groups tend to mess up words. Amen. And one right after the other, they said, we're so proud of Tyreek. We're so proud of Tyreek. Pastor said he's been a good student. And the teacher said they've enjoyed having him in their class. And we're so thankful for God's work in his life, God's grace. If you could see where it came from, you'd know why I'm so broke up this morning. God is a good God. He's a great God. We're so thrilled. We look for what God's going to do in his life, and we are thankful that God, in his providence, has allowed this place to come alongside him at this time in his life to help him be what God's called him to be. And Pastor, on behalf of Crossroads Baptist Church, I just want to say thank you and how much we appreciate it. 1 Chronicles chapter number 4, I'm reading verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, that thou wouldest enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Father, we pray to help us as we open the Bible today. I pray that you cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. Hide me behind the cross of Christ. God, I'm not so ignorant to think that this is just a pep rally. We can go to the gym and scream and watch some guys shoot a basketball and some cheerleaders jump up in the air. And in just a few moments, all that noise will stop and we'll just forget it ever happened. God, this is not a pep rally. We're not here just to get pepped up. We're here to find our purpose. So help us. I pray you get me out of the way and you use me. I pray that you'd help me to speak what you'd want me to speak and help me be a blessing. Somebody could be right on the precipice of making a great decision and a horrible decision. God, would you save them from nonsense? And would you pull them to success? Help me. Thank you that I'm not standing here leaning on the arm of flesh, that I have the Spirit of God inside of me. And may he do what I cannot do. And may all the glory go to you. We love you. Thank you for being God. Watch over my wife and my family back at the room as they are doing school today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. If you read the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter number 4, you're reading in one of those passages of Scripture that are known as posterity chapters, genealogy chapters, full of names, name after name after name after name. They're what we call boring chapters, I guess. I mean, they're there. God put them there. And yet you read one name after a name. You don't get very many stories. Don't get very many details. Don't get much light on these people and their lives. You just have their names. It's a family tree. It's just a historical line of genealogies. And if you're a young person in the 4th grade, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, even if you're in Bible college, you may read in your Bible reading 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and go, what am I going to get out of this? I know it's there. I know it's in the Bible. And maybe you think that God just had 66 books. He had to get content into it. He filled up as much as he could and ran out of content. So just threw these genealogies in to make sure every page had something on it. And yet Paul said to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every last bit of it. And not just the fancy stories, not just Jonah in the whale and Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Not just Balaam and that talking donkey. Not just Mary and that virgin birth. Not just the feeding of the 5,000. Not just the parting of the Red Sea. Not just the calming of the raging storm. Those are exciting passages. I love it when the lame man walks. I love it when the deaf man starts hearing. I love it when the dumb men started speaking. I love it when blind Bartimaeus started seeing. I love it when Legion was sitting clothed and in his right mind. Those passages help me. But all scripture, even the genealogies, all of it is profitable. It'll all help you. It'll all help me. And here we are reading the Bible, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, looking at a genealogy going, what in the world is this going to do for me as a freshman in Bible college trying to pay my school bill? And I'm trying to read 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Well, in the middle of the Bible passage, verse number 9, a name jumps off the page. Yep. This name is following a list of names that are not connected with it. This name will be followed by a list of other names that are not connected with it. I don't know about you, I just kind of believe that the Holy Ghost of God, what's the name of Jabez in the middle of names that have nothing to do with his name? Because there's something about the name of Jabez God wants us to pay attention to. His name means painful one, sorrowful one, one who brings sorrow to another. It's a name he got from his mama. That's pretty depressing. He must have been an ugly baby, huh? She looked at him and said, boy, you're a painful one. Looking at you just brings sorrow to me. I don't know what happened. I'm sure that's not what it means. I'm sure it wasn't because of what he looked like, but without a doubt, names in the Bible meant a big deal. And when she gave him this name, she didn't expect him to amount to anything. When she gave him this name, she expected it to be associated with a negative connotation. She expected not just his name to be negative, but she expected his life to be negative. When she gave him this name, she just wasn't picking something that his teachers would call him by when they took attendance. She was predicting that this boy that she had just given birth to would have a life that would produce pain. Well, when your mama thinks that of you, you're in trouble. Most of the time, she's your biggest fan. And yet, Jabez, with a prediction on his life that his mom had given him, he appealed to a higher power. And I'm not just talking about what people call some higher power, some figment of an imagination. I'm not talking about finding the champion inside of him. I'm not talking about some motivational speaking. I'm not talking about squeezing some stress ball. I'm not talking about quoting some poem or shooting some round of golf. I'm not talking about standing up on top of a building, flapping his hands, singing, I believe I can fly. I'm talking about realizing that above his mama, above his daddy, above his peers, above the predictions of his life, above the generational curses, above the statistics that surrounded boys like him, there was some somebody who had made him, somebody who had created him, somebody who had designed him, somebody who had destined him, somebody who had orchestrated, handwritten him, and produced in him someone with individuality that was one of a kind, that despite the predictions and despite the expectations and despite the branding on his life, there was a God in heaven who had something bigger for him, something greater for him, something awesome for him. And Jabez said, if God got it for me, I want it. Amen. Yes, sir. and bless the Lord, oh my soul. Thousands of years later, we're in King, North Carolina on a Tuesday morning in the fourth month of the year. Come on now, 17th day, 2018, and we're still talking about that Jabez. Boy, God did it. Somebody say amen. God did it. Riding over here this morning, thinking about the prospect. I don't know, God called me to preach at the age of 9, and I surrendered to reach my generation at the age of 16 years and years ago. And I got happy about getting a chance to preach to young people, and I start dreaming about it. You know, I mean, the boys in school were coming and talking about dreaming about dunking on somebody and playing in some big stadium and running a touchdown. And I'm sitting at the lunch table talking about dreaming about standing in some auditorium somewhere and getting able to open the Bible and preach to people and see lives change and God do something. And I will tell you today, if nobody's happy in the building, you could clear out this morning and just let me stand here by myself with no microphone. And I can have a good time all by myself. I'm living a dream that God set in my heart years and years ago. But the fact of the matter is, preacher, it's not an empty auditorium. There are seats that have people in them. You're not a number to me. You're not somebody that I can just pick up and exploit like the hip-hop or the rock music industry. You are a gem of God. You're a creation of God. You're a masterpiece. Boys and girls, men and women, prospective Bible college students, God's got a plan for your life. He's got a will, a destiny, a goal, an objective, a dream to be fulfilled. We're reading about a man that saw something in himself that God had for him. And I'm asking you, whatever this Jabez had in him, is it in you? While you sit taking notes in your college class, is there anything in you? Are you stood up on this platform holding up a microphone with good music coming from your lips? And those listening to you sing, I'm asking you, was it just a song of melody and harmony? Or is there something in you? When you get up in the morning and start getting dressed to head to that Christian school, is it a bunch of drag in you that I got to go back to this school again with these rules and regulations and strictness and guidelines? I can't wait till I turn that tassel and I step off that stage and I call my own shots and I do my own thing. I date who I want to date. I go where I want to go. I come in the house when I want to come in the house. I get from underneath this crazy old-fashioned mom and daddy and this narrow-minded preacher that puts his finger down in front of me and preaches the word of God. I get to sow my wild oats and live my way. And you only live once. I get to do things my way. I want to tell you, the devil's selling you a lie that's been hatched in the pit of hell. There's a God sitting in heaven. He don't have a doll that looks like you that he's sticking with a needle every day. His thoughts for you are of peace. He's got an expected end. He's got a desire. And listen to me. You mark it down on your calendar. God's going to do his part. I'm asking you, is there anything in you? Are you just a Christian school student that's a pretty good kid, that you ain't in no gang and you ain't trying to shoot up nobody and you ain't marching down the street with your pants falling off your backside? That ain't going to cut it. That'll make you look good from a society standpoint, but God's not just looking for somebody good. He's looking for somebody godly. Amen. Somebody's got to have something in them. Jabez wasn't going to settle for predictions. He wasn't going to settle for being a statistic. He wasn't going to settle for being status quo. And I'm just asking you, I'm not asking you, young lady, to get up in this auditorium and run around and scream and shout and do cartwheels and talk in an unknown tongue. I'm not asking you to be the next Deborah or the next Ruth or the next Esther that everybody knows every time they hear your name. I'm just asking you, if you'll sit down in that pew in your quiet little unassuming way and say, there's got to be something God's got for me. There's got to be somewhere God's trying to take me. I'm not asking you to be the next Billy Graham, the next Billy Sunday. I'm not asking you to be the next Paul or the next Peter. I'm just asking you to let God take you as high as he wants to take you. And I'm asking you, as much as God wants to put in you, do you have that in your side of yourself to want him to do it? Is it in you? What was in Jabez? I tell you what was in him. I tell you what ought to be in you. Number one, a passion for God's prosperity. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Oh, he didn't say, oh, well, if you do it, it'd be cool. Well, You know, if God, I mean, when you go in chapel this morning, I mean, God, sure, it would be kind of nice if God showed up. No. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Listen to me, young man, I don't care if you're preaching to 5,000 or if you're preaching in a nursing home to 50 people that can't even hear you. You ought to want God on you. I said, you ought to want God on you. Oh, preacher, I want God on me this morning. If I never sign another Bible, I want God on me. If my picture's never on another fly, I want God on me. If nobody ever downloads a message on sermon audio that I've preached, I want God on me. If nobody ever thinks anything of my messages, I want God on me. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me. I need your favor more than I need the next iPhone, more than I need a better job, more than I need a raise, more than I need a new outfit, more than I need a boyfriend or girlfriend, more than I need more Facebook followers. I need the blessing of God. Oh, I'm telling you, the blessing of God maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow for it. I'll tell you what's missing in young people. Not passion, because they got passion for sports, passion for video games, passion for social media. 11 hours and 23 minutes a day the average teenager spends on some form of social media. We're not pastoring teenagers that don't have passion. We're simply pastoring teenagers that don't have passion for God. And not all of them, but some of them. And just because you're in Bible college don't mean you have a passion for God. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Whew. I'm telling you, I've been asking God for that for years. God bless me. Indeed. What do you mean indeed? I mean, God, whatever gets on me, I want it to be without a doubt that it's from you. Hey man, I don't just want the blessing of the brethren. I don't just want the applause of men. I don't just want the favor of those who are who's who in our movement. I want the blessing of God. I want to know that God is pleased, that God is satisfied, that God takes pleasure in my life. Listen to Jabez with that word of exclamation. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. You got a passion for God's prosperity. Number two, a pursuit of his purpose. Enlarge my coast. A pursuit of his purpose. God, I've got a circle. Huh? I've got a circle, and that circle represents my influence. That circle represents my impact. God, enlarge my influence and enhance my impact. In other words, stretch me. Stretch me. I mean, in basketball, if you got a wide wingspan, that makes you a good ball player. You know what that means? When somebody looks like he can shoot a shot in front of you, he may think he can, but when he shoots it, he gets it stuffed in his face because he didn't realize how long your arms were. In other words, that arm can reach further than you thought it could. Here's what Jabez says. God, I got a wingspan. I'm one man. But if you take this one man and give me a broader reach to impact more people, that's what I want. I'm not omnipresent. I'm in King. I can't be in King in Northern Virginia at the same time. I've tried, about to kill myself. I'm only one person. And I don't think I'm a great person. But I'm a person. I got oxygen in my lungs. God decided to wake me up this morning. And it's his will that I'm in this building. I believe it all my heart, Pastor. I'm in the center of God's will at this very moment. This is where God wants Kenny Baldwin today, right here. Amen. Now, I don't want to just preach a sermon. I want to preach a message. And when I leave this building, I want to touch somebody. And I need God to do that. I need God to enlarge my coast. I'm telling you, I remember sitting down as a young man thinking, God, you were preaching me, and there's a fire in me. And I took that fire to the rec center up the street, around the corner from the church, where these 14, 15, 16-year-old boys, their pants fall off the backside, the rap music in their ears, and tattoos on their body, and clueless about who their daddy was, and lost about what destiny was, and never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. And I thought, God, I got basketball 4 days a week. I'll play ball. I'll tell them about Jesus. I'll play ball. I'll tell them about Jesus. I'll put them in the car. I'll tell them about Jesus. I'll buy them a Big Mac. Tell them about Jesus. I'll drop them off home. Tell them about Jesus. And then on the 28th of 1996, four boys thought enough about getting in that car, enough times about playing ball with me, enough times and not hearing me cuss. Let's go find out who that Jesus is. They showed up at a church on a Sunday morning. Now I've been to an independent fundamental Baptist church. Most of them didn't know their daddies, but there was a young man that looked like he had something different about him. They sat down, heard the gospel, walked the aisle, got saved, got baptized, went and got their homeboy, brought him back the next week. He got baptized, and God erupted something in our community. Amen. But he was doing something in me.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He was stretching my wingspan. Yes. And then it added more and more and more and more. And you could drive down Lacey Boulevard on a Sunday morning, and I had church members would come to church and report to me, Pastor, there were cars that couldn't drive up Lacey Boulevard for a few seconds because the whole road was blocked with teenage boys that were walking from the community to Crossroads Baptist Church.
Amen.
Now let me tell you something. I didn't do that. God did it. I said, I didn't do that. God did it. And the next thing you know, somehow, preacher, I'm telling you, if I'm bragging, I pray God kill me. I'm telling you, somehow, I'd go to youth conference and I'm just excited about Jesus. And next thing you know, somebody come up and say, well, would you ever consider come preach at our church? And then somebody said, would you ever consider come preach at our church? And somebody said, would you ever consider come preach at our church? And then they start calling the church. I don't even know how they knew where my number was. I didn't know how to get me. I never sent out a brochure saying I'm preaching meetings. Have me in. I'm a youth evangelist. I love to preach meetings. If I can help you out in any way, I'd love to be. I never sent. God struck me dead if I'm lying. And yet they started calling. They started sending letters. And they started calling. And next thing you know, 65 places a year, I was preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing young people saved, young men called to preach. Last night, I had a man walk up and say, it's been 12, 13 years since you came to my church, and I'm glad you're still preaching the word. Listen to me. That ain't my credit. That's to the glory of God. He took a 16-year-old boy that could only touch just a little bit, and now he's letting me touch a lot of it. But I don't have a corner on that. That's for anybody. Do you want your purpose? God, don't just give me a job. Give me a job next to somebody on the same shift with me that will be ready to hear the gospel. Set me on the plane at the right row so that when we get our peanuts and Sprite, I can turn to somebody and say, do you know the Lord?
Amen.
That's purpose. That's purpose. Number three, a petition for God's presence that thine hand might be with me. God, I need you. I need you with me. God, I know where I'm going, but I don't want to go without you. Come on now, God. If I'm going to that pulpit, I'm not going if you're not coming. God, I'm getting ready to sing. I ain't singing if you're not coming. God, I'm going soul winning. I'm not going soul winning if you're not coming. God, I'm going that mission field. I'm going that mission trip. I'm not going if you're not going. I tell you what, we've learned how to do too many Christian things without God. Jabez said, I tell you what's in me, a petition for God's presence. I don't just need to do the Christian activity. I need the presence of God. A plea for God's protection. Keep me from evil. Boy, something in this, boy. Keep me from evil. Keep me from Facebook blunders. Keep me from accessible pornography. Keep me from quote-unquote Christian music that isn't.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
Before I take longer to preach on it.
Good.
Keep me from dating somebody that's a pretty girl but doesn't love God.
Amen.
Keep me from letting some smooth-talking boy get me to walk away from my parents and from my purity. And waste time. And by the time I figure out he's a dud, I've made mistakes I can't go back and change. Keep me from evil.
Amen.
Keep my eyes from watching the wrong television show. Keep my ears from listening to the wrong music. Keep my fingers from clicking on the wrong sites. Come on, somebody help me. Keep my mouth from saying words, not just words that cuss words, but words that don't bring grace to the hearer, that don't edify. Keep me from building up my own image. Keep me from drowning in pride. Keep me from thinking that people applauding me is actually me doing something. Keep me from going off the wrong path. Keep me from drowning in the idiosyncrasies of the heresy of Reformed theology and Calvinism. Keep me from shifting off to the wrong version of the Bible and drowning in the contemporary movement and going with anything goes. Keep me from drifting away from my Baptist heritage. Keep me from evil. Why? That it won't grieve me. because the biggest loser when I sin is me.
Yep.
Not just my mama, my daddy, my preacher, my movement. Me.
Amen. Amen.
And then lastly, a provision for his prayer. God granted him that which he requested. Woo. What do you mean, is it in me? I mean, is your prayer so godly that God's got to answer it? I don't know why God doesn't answer my prayers and he answered everybody else's prayers. Maybe your prayers don't line up with his pleasure. Praying in the spirit doesn't mean praying in unknown tongue. Praying in the spirit means in agreement and cooperation with the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He will give thee the desires of thine heart. That doesn't mean everything you want, you'll have. It means when you delight yourself in the Lord, that you'll start wanting what he wants. And he will give you what you want because he's the one that told you to want it.
Amen.
Boy, you're not going to be much. You're going to be a painful boy. You're going to get nothing out of your life. Sorrow's going to come from you. Sorrow and pain. That's what I think. That's what mama said. Javier said, yeah, I hear what mama said. What does God say? What does God say? Some of you can't even see the mission field from here. Some of you young ladies can't even see family, children from here. All you can do is just write it up on a napkin. What he's going to look like, what colors you're going to have, and what kind of little fluffy dress you're going to wear. And I'm telling you, your wedding can look good on a napkin, but you're going to need more than a napkin from Cracker Barrel to make it come true. You need God in on it. You need God in on it. That pretty woman sitting at that hotel room with those precious children today, I'm telling you what, that wasn't the luck of the draw. That was divine appointment of Almighty God. And I'm not bragging on anything I did, but I will tell you something, that I got tuned in on Jesus as a 9-year-old preacher, and I got tuned in on the will of God as a 16-year-old boy, and there were potential pitfalls and ditches and snares and traps, but by the grace of God, I said no to them and yes to God, and I'm looking at a family and a church and a destiny that I wouldn't trade for all of the stuff that the devil had in the world. You better, listen, you better not want it then. You better start wanting now. And you better have something in you. Something in you. Like Jabez had. Because according to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we ain't talking about none of his brothers. Don't even know their name. But we're still talking about him. Because of what he had in him. The question is, regardless of who your parents are, your past is, your situation is, is it in you? Our Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Help us. Use us. Guide us. And direct us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Standing together. I just want you to come if God talked to you. Come on. Let's not twist any arms or do anything. God spoke to you. You said, God talked to me about having something in me and I want it. Come on, come on, come on. Don't wait on anybody else. You say, I've got a bad daddy, or somebody's done me wrong, or I've got a past that doesn't look good. Don't worry about that. You have something in you that you want to do for God? Come on, come on. You say, I got somebody on my right, somebody on my left.